Some years ago, I was traveling across Afghanistan when the Afghans in the car said we had to stop. We had to buy some music. They said I could not understand Afghanistan unless I heard Ahmed Zaheer. Ahmed Zaheer is the latest of NPR's 50 Great Voices. We're discovering influential singers around the world, living or dead, famous or not. Zaheer is sometimes seen as Afghanistan's Elvis. His lifelong fans include a man who grew up with his music, Amin Tarzi.
He looked like Elvis. I think his hairdo was very much an Elvis hairdo. He did some of the things with shaking his tush, and he had a lot of that. He was a showman.
A showman who, appropriately enough, once recorded an Elvis tune. And just like Elvis, the Afghan singer kept his fan base for decades after he died in the 1970s. When you hear his story, you learn a lot about how people relate to music, and you learn even more about Afghanistan.
When I listen to him today, it brings a time, I would call it my innocence. You know, Afghanistan became a desperate country, but his voice teaches me the time when Afghanistan was a hopeful country. La 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 la.
Amin Tarzi, our guide to Ahmed Zaheer's life and music, is a U.S. citizen now and teaches at the Marine Corps College. In the 70s, he was a boy growing up in Afghanistan.
I was at, say, age of 12, 13. I was a very romantic kid.
What do you mean romantic?
You know, I kind of lived through his songs. I actually liked a girl 4 years older than me. We didn't date in Afghanistan. You didn't date people, especially not 4 years older than yourself at age 12. But
you had ambitions.
I had ambitions, and through these songs, I would live those ambitions. I have to say that his voice was not my favorite voice, but Ahmed Zaheer was more about what he said, how he said it, and what people said about him.
Ahmed Zaheer became a star in the years just before Afghanistan descended into more than 30 years of war. It was a happier time, though the government was rapidly becoming unstable. Zaheer was the son of a former prime minister. He moved easily among Kabul's cultural elite. His bands moved between the Asian drum called the tabla and Western instruments like the accordion. And he sang of love explicitly. What's he singing?
Boy tu khizat anos, your smell rises still. Boy tu azbestaram, your smell from my bed. And he says, your dog literally means your pain, you know, the burn of your love is still on my body. So it's pretty provocative. Some people like the lyrics, some people were offended by the lyrics because, you know, here's a man who comes in Afghanistan of 1970s. You know, it's a conservative country. For a lot of people, it was a kind of a freedom. Here we can talk about an issue that in Afghanistan is not touched upon, that a man and a woman were in bed, and now the man is singing about the smell of that woman in his bed.
Nor was that Ahmed Zaheer's only edgy subject. As governments fell, as communists came into power, as the country deteriorated, he sang about poverty.
And he says, you know, one place somebody's wearing a silken robe and the other person is walking with bare feet. In one place there's, you hear the laughter over good food and somebody else is hungry. And here he keeps on saying that if I were in place of this person, I would have ripped the sky.
How should I think of this song? Is this a protest song?
It's a protest song, yeah. It's a protest not only to the government. It's a protest, I would even say, to God.
He is saying, as some great religious character might say, why God? Why is this happening?
Yes, exactly. And in Afghanistan, one thing that is very important in the culture where we're talking, the issue of justice is paramount. If you don't talk about that, you don't capture anybody's mind. And he did talk about it in different levels. The injustice of the lover to the beloved, the injustice of the cup going empty. This combination, I think, is what makes him one of the greats. And then he also sings another song which is very iconic, that my death will occur in a sunny day in the spring. So people, after the fact, they say that, you know, he actually foresaw his own death.
How did he die?
Up to today, everybody who knows him would tell you that he was murdered by the communist regime. He was very open about his criticism of a country where if you said a word about the regime, you would get killed, and he was openly attacking this regime. The Afghan government at the time claimed that he died in a car accident. Everybody up to today says he was murdered by the communists. And at the funeral, everybody's walking behind the Ahmad Zahir hearse. We all did. My school, we didn't ask our teachers. This is a communist type where you can't even, you know, you have to stand up and sit down. Every classroom just emptied out. People would climb on trees just to see. It was impossible to even get close to it.
I'm beginning to get a sense of what has made this man last. We're doing this series on great voices. But you said, strictly speaking, this is not a great voice. It's not the greatest Afghan voice.
Some people will kill me for that, but no, I don't think he's a great voice. I'd say that, musically speaking, he's good, but he's not great. It is his other aspects that make him iconic in Afghanistan and beyond. For better or worse, he is the symbol of an Afghanistan that nobody thinks is going to come back in their lifetime. He is the symbol of this good old days, a bygone time that those of us who lived it think about it, and the young Afghans dream of it.
That's Amin Tarzi speaking of Afghanistan's Ahmad Zahir, one of NPR's 50 great voices. You can see and hear more at NPR.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Monte.